Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey, this is Emily.
And this is Sandra.
And I'm Jess, and you're listening to Town Meeting, a Gilmore Girls rewatch podcast.
Okay, so today the episode is Road Trip to Harvard. And it is my week to do the summary. So far, we have not done too great at this, but you know, we're trying our hardest. And you know, I am going to do this time. Are you guys ready with the timer?
Yes.
3, 2, 1. The road trip is in full effect. There's no map, but Lorelai remembers a past friend, Donald, or something that owns a B&B. Except when they go, it's now the Cheshire Cat, owned by LaDawn. There's a lot of flowers. The first night is awful. There's no food and a lot of fighting. Suki tells Miss Patty the news, and Miss Patty tells everyone except for Luke, who finds out and gives free coffee. Meanwhile, the girls realize they're close to Harvard, and hey, Rory fits in. Back in the hollow, Lorelai arrives to sympathy, but she casts aside for decisiveness and goes to the end.
All right.
I would count that as a success.
I think so, too. There was honestly so little in this episode that
really
we could have done it in 10.
if any episode was going to make it easy, it was going to be this one.
Oh, yeah.
So do I succeed?
Yeah. Yes. So no
point. That's so exciting.
Because that's how
Points. Points are bad.
We messed this up before. We'll figure it out. But basically, I have 1 point so far, which is bad. But
Sandra's
I do not get
lead.
Another one for this one. Yay.
Congratulations.
Thank you. I worked really hard for this, so I appreciate your congratulatory. All right. But moving on to the episode in question.
We pick up not directly after we left the girls' red light on wedding night, but they are in the car. They are road tripping. And as evidenced by their departure, there's no planning. They're just
nothing
going.
It's not just no planning. It's, I don't even want to look at a map. I don't care where we're going.
It's an outright refusal
to plan.
Rory, the
anal girl.
Yeah.
Yeah. Rory, she wants to know. And I feel for Rory in this moment.
Oh, yeah.
Because I'm like this, too.
And I mean, one of the first things that happens in the second scene, nobody knows that the wedding is off.
Mm-mm.
And so Lorelai has to call Suki and tell her.
And we all still love Max. I don't know if you saw Rory's face while she said that, but it was so sad. Like, she gives the smallest smile at Lorelai, like at the joke or whatever, when she looks over. But like, Rory is not okay.
Well, and, like, one of the other things that this phone call reveals is that Lorelai was supposed to be at work today.
I have no idea what is going on here.
Listen, the timeline does not make sense.
Because on the phone, Suki says, like, hey, you coming into work soon? Or something like that. And Lorelai's like,
well,
no, we're on the road.
We left off with it being in 2 days.
Mm-hmm.
The wedding is in 2 days. We go to this, and Lorelai's supposed to be at work, and she's like, oh, I hope you didn't do the cake.
Is it Rory who
says 2 days?
Before
my wedding.
Because I think it's Rory who says this weekend, when Lorelai comes into the bedroom.
Is it this weekend?
Well, actually, you know what? It must be the next week, because at the very end of this episode in the Friday night dinner, Emily still expects them to be getting married, but time is passed.
This following weekend. But is it Friday? Because why else would they be there besides Friday night dinner?
I assume
they don't go to the Gilmore's house just to go.
I assume that's Friday. I'm thinking Lorelai's freakout happened on like a Sunday or Monday morning because they're gone for a couple of days, but still get back in time for Friday night dinner to be able to tell Emily on Saturday. That is my canon.
This is a logistics nightmare.
They went into a wormhole. You know the upcoming Marvel, like, Spider-Man stuff where they're going into the multiverse? This is what happened. I'm convinced.
Yeah. It's such a mess. I feel like if there's, like, a dedicated listener out there who is also super into this time stuff the way that we are, who wants to go and, like, dissect it and look for all those points.
Please let us know.
Be our guest. Write in.
If we keep going about time, we're never going to stop.
Okay, but this is a filler episode. What else are we going to talk about?
We can talk about Hayden's nuts.
Yes!
Which, by the way, is not pronounced Hayden. It's pronounced Haddon.
Is it a real thing?
There's no Y. There's no I. No,
it's the sign. It's Haden. I mean, It's only one D, so I guess it could be the long A sound, since it's not two.
And I mean, I'm assuming it's a family name too, and sometimes like it's like, oh yeah, we've pronounced it this way. Okay.
But why would you choose that one? Why that name? There are so many other last names.
Right. That's what I was saying. The entire time I'm like, at least make a joke that it's your dad's last name too, but no.
At least make a joke about Strobe making his riches selling nuts.
There is a lot of jokes.
There's so many jokes there.
Gosh, yeah. I didn't think about it until now. There's a lot of potential.
I never even noticed the last name until this watch. I was like, oh, well that's there.
And so focusing in on these nuts that they purchased, like they each have a bag, right?
I think so.
I think it was just one big bag.
Or was it just one big bag? Because
I don't know.
Later on in this episode, they are hungry and they have nothing. And I mean, I like nuts. Like I love cashews and almonds and what have you. But I don't think even in the car on a road trip, I could just sit and eat what looks to be a solid maybe pound or so of nuts. I guess they are the Gilmores, so maybe they did.
I mean, okay.
So there are three bags. One, like, big canvas bag, and then two little ones.
Guys, two tiny little paper bags. We also have to keep in mind, they're coming from Hartford-ish, right? Stars Hollow is not a real place, so Hartford-ish. To Boston, which is, like, a 4.5-hour drive.
Yeah.
No, but how many nuts can you eat in 4.5 hours?
I mean, it's the Gilmores.
It's, okay, so there are three bags of nuts, but it is heavily implied
that these nuts are gone.
The nuts are gone by the time they reach the Cheshire Cat.
Or maybe they left them in the car and they did not want to risk the downstairs to get them.
They brought so many bags. They brought bags like if they were gone
for their nuts
3 months.
But if they didn't put the nuts in the bag and left the nuts on the dashboard.
Let's talk about a different part.
Don't drink every time we say nuts. You will be ill.
Let's talk about a different food.
Have a really good episode.
Cake.
Clyde, the cake. The five-tiered cake.
Oh, cake.
It's beautiful.
It's gorgeous. Cake.
I'm going to say something a little weird. Is it a little bit less elaborate than Suki usually does? Usually Suki is like, there would be goats on it, like Luke.
Yeah.
Like, but instead, it's just the little pink lilies.
But this might have been Lorelai coming in and be like, no, simple, clean, and this was Suki's version of simple. Like, in the future, when they cater that kid's Lord of the Rings party, like,
yes,
I feel like even that cake, even that cake is more extravagant than this, like, I guess decorative-wise. It's obviously a smaller cake, but
Suki handles it with class.
She starts
slicing and giving to the kitchen staff.
Mm-hmm.
The kitchen staff looks so disappointed. How much work probably went into making that cake? Like,
oh, hours.
Still a lot, yeah.
Hours.
I will say, assuming this is like a Monday or a Tuesday, that I'm surprised the cake is made that far in advance.
Well, that's why I think it's like, it's supposed to be in 2 days, but then later on it's in a week. So, you know, time moves differently there.
Also, Suki is holding, you know, a butcher knife to start cutting this cake. Is anybody else just waiting for her to, like, tap somebody with the end of the knife to be like, here's your piece of cake?
Yeah, well, we've had a good few episodes without Suki being, like, a disaster, which is really nice.
Mm-hmm. I agree. There's one point she's kind of holding the knife out to the side while talking, and I'm fully expecting her to just start tapping the guy behind her to be like, here's your cake.
Well, and I also want to give, like, a brief credit, an acting credit to one of the guys that she hands the cake to.
He looks so disappointed.
He's like, are you kidding me? Why are you cutting this cake?
Yeah.
Which, good for him. Somebody needs to be like, this is bonkers. And it okay, is. Unnamed kitchen guy, you get to be the one.
I love the guy who's like actively decorating it that she shoos away. He's just like, okay. And like, he just looks confused.
Yeah, which I would be too.
Right.
We do, however, need to move on.
Yes.
We do. And so do the Gilmore Girls, who move on. Let's say Lorelai remembers a past friend, Donald.
Something or other. Stein.
Yes. And how he had this cool B&B that every room is a different decade. I believe that's what it was.
Yeah, or like a different time period. Kind of.
Still kind of sounds like a nightmare, not going to lie.
See, I love that.
That's my thing. I felt like there was so much B&B hate in this episode.
There is.
And it struck me as really bizarre because, like, Lorelai is in the hospitality industry. Maybe there's some kind of, like, major beef between B&Bs and inns. And inns. Like,
I want to know
if
there
is. Hospitality, let us know.
I want to know.
They act like a B&B is the most terrible thing ever.
Well, and LaDawn. We meet LaDawn, the owner, but also the hostess of the B&B.
She might be the only employee there. We don't see anybody else.
It's quite possible.
Yeah.
I get customer service vibes from her. Do you know what I mean? Like,
oh, yeah.
She's trying her best.
That's okay. Thank you.
Yeah. It's extreme, too.
I had some, like, justice for LaDawn feelings during this episode. Because they continue to paint her as, like, ridiculous and silly. And yes, she is kind of odd. Like, especially that whole exchange they have at the end of the episode on the stairs about the cat.
Yeah,
but, like,
part's
otherwise,
weird.
She is just trying to provide a nice experience. She's very courteous. She's excited for them to be there. And they just treat her like she's insane.
Not just her, though. Everybody there.
Everybody there. Yep.
Everyone. But, okay. For them, they are forced to stay in this cat nightmare with flowers everywhere.
There's only one cat.
There is only one cat. And Sammy wasn't that big.
No, he wasn't.
I don't understand the cat.
Sammy slander.
It was weird.
I feel like they made that joke and then they couldn't find a cat fat enough. So it's like, just hire the biggest one we can find.
Yeah.
I mean, it was cute.
It was just a very cute cat. Yeah.
What I did notice is that behind the counter, there are pink lilies, these same exact pink lilies that were on Lorelai's cake.
Oh.
So they obviously had a big shipment of them, or they used not enough on the cake, and we're like, here we go.
Man, Suki works fast.
Yeah.
Yeah, right? But this room.
The room is a lot.
Yeah. Would you have liked to stay in this room?
I wouldn't pick it if you gave me a selection, but I also would not have been aghast
so rude.
when you open the door. Like, Lorelai literally, like, makes an audible sound of shock and horror.
And not a good one. Like, LaDawn turns around like, yeah? And Lorelai tries to, like, play it off, but, like, that sound was just straight up, like, something negative just happened.
Sandra, paint them a picture of what this room looks like.
Have you ever seen 1,000 flowers up close to your face?
No, this is the room that makes Liberace walk in and be like, whoa, nobody's this gay.
Ugh, I hate that joke so much.
Why? Why all the gay jokes? Come on.
It's just a very floral room.
It is.
It's just a very floral room. The patterns are, like, kind of too matchy, which is probably its biggest crime, but...
You know what? Yeah. It's the same pattern everywhere.
I gotta say something, though, guys. I've seen a lot of 2000s, like, 90s to 2000 shows, a lot of them, and I think Gilmore Girls might be the one with the most gay jokes.
I mean, we
like,
get,
I don't...
at least one, if not more, a season. The big one I can think of last season is Kirk.
Yeah.
There were a couple last season.
I'm sure there were. I just can't think of them.
And then it continues. I'm on my season 5 rewatch right now. And it's happening there too. And it's like, it's not just the first couple seasons.
Yeah.
It continues.
Yeah.
Gilmore Girls. Shame, shame, shame. You know what? What I did love about the show though is the little detail of Rory's backpack.
Oh yeah. Right?
That like, you know, when you go on a trip, you bring your school backpack, and it's the same one. Mm-hmm. And I don't know, I thought that was really cute.
So, the girls have gotten to the Cheshire Cat. They don't like LaDawn. They don't like their room. No. And apparently, they have eaten, like, 3 pounds of nuts, and they are starving. And...
It's only been 4 hours.
They didn't eat anything for breakfast, I'm assuming. Or maybe they had, like, Pop-Tarts or something.
Well, yeah, Pop-Tarts, they left at, like, 6 a.m. or something, right?
They're so, so hungry, and yet they're also not willing to go into the main room of the bed and breakfast because there are other people there. It just blows my mind.
What blows my mind is that, okay, Rory's still a teenager, but Lorelai is a grown-ass woman.
Right?
Who has every right to just be like, I don't want to talk to you. I'm going to leave. Bye.
Yeah.
Like, bye. We have to go to eat.
So when you get the view of them at the top of the stairs looking down on the room, it looks like it's dark outside. So I think we have to assume it is dinner time.
Mm-hmm.
So they were on the road for a while, whatever. Lorelai is 32 years old and can't just, hey, we're going to go get dinner, have a nice night, and walk out the door. Like, yeah. And she's like, no, we can't go down there. They're going to ask all you these questions about your hunky, hunky boyfriend. Okay, you're gonna tell a 16-year-old girl that she can't talk about her hunky, hunky boyfriend. First of all, it's weird that you're calling him that, but
right, gross. We'll move on. Still Dean.
Again, we're 32.
It's roughly 5 o'clock, because it takes them 3 hours of hiding.
For it to be like 8-something.
Yeah, exactly. For it to be 8:23. And they're super bored. Mm-hmm. They're singing downstairs or something. And, like, if they're singing, that's the perfect time to leave.
Right?
They don't want to interrupt the song.
Just give a thumbs up and, like, oh, this sounds great. Bye. Like, and go.
Exactly.
If you want to be really nice, you could pretend to clap for them while you're walking out.
Yeah. Also, just, like, not a great mom move, in my opinion,
no.
For your child to be like, I am so hungry. Please,
and all
I'm
I have
so
for you
hungry.
Is asserts.
And
well,
she ate
you have
the
to starve because I'm too socially awkward to get us to walk out the door.
She didn't even share it with Rory.
Poor Rory gets like screwed over in this episode.
Yeah,
at least
she
in
does.
This little part. Okay.
Yeah, and she's being
just,
a trooper.
I'm hungry.
Like in the last episode, we were really impressed with her too. She had a brief pause, and then she was like, okay, I'm packing. Where are we going? Like, I don't care. I'm just going with you. And now she's hungry. And they have a gnarly fight.
Yeah.
Yes. So Rory wants to talk. And this is, like, not gonna lie, guys, the meat of the episode.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Like, this is the only part that's, like, not filler.
This is the fifth scene. The fifth of 13 scenes.
And Rory wants to talk about Max, and Lorelai retreats.
Yep.
And becomes so cold.
Mm-hmm.
Yikes. It was so yikes.
Yeah, Lorelai she shuts her down really hard.
Lorelai says so many times, I don't have to discuss this with my daughter. And like every time she says it, I'm like, but you do. You literally upended this girl's life with absolutely no warning and no explanation, and you expect her to be okay with it? Like, even if it just turns out, I'm sorry, I realize he's not the one, it's not going to work out, I love Max, but I'm not in love with Max, I'm sorry. Just, that's better than nothing.
Yeah.
Than nothing that she got.
And, like, Lorelai is all, I don't want to talk about my social life. Social life? That was her potential stepdad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Rory even says, like, we were planning on this. I was planning on this. Max was planning on this. She says, I'm your best friend. And she's like, you're also my daughter. And I was just like, oh, Lorelai. I know she's hurting, but...
She plays the mom card at weird times. Yeah, she does. This is a weird time to play it. And you're right. Like, Rory literally says, this is our life that you just tossed away. Like, and I get where Rory's coming from, but I also feel for Lorelai because it's very obvious she does not love Max.
Yeah.
I get it when Lorelai says that she didn't just toss it away, but the way that she's treating Rory and refusing to acknowledge and explain what happened, like, that's totally what it feels like. Lorelai, you have every right to walk away, but you totally just upended your life and your daughter's life. You have to discuss that.
Yeah. And she does at the very, very end, after they have kind of decided, nope, we're just going to bed, we're fighting, we're done. Yeah. She does say, you know, I wish it could have worked out.
I wish I did love him.
I wish I did love him.
It kills me.
Which, like, if you're gonna say it, then you could have said it the first time she asked.
Right? You didn't need a fight to do it. But
a fight where she claims that she's a grown woman but also can't walk out of the door.
Oh my god.
For fear of a couple asking her what she does for work. Which, by the way, we didn't mention this before, but LaDawn asks her what she does for work.
Oh,
and Lorelai lies and says publishing.
I don't understand that either.
Like, I think maybe that adds to the there's beef between inns and B&Bs. Yep. Maybe it's like a Sharks versus Jets kind of thing, and she would like shank her. You know, like, who knows?
Just lock her in the room. You're never leaving here.
They would have put her in a worse room.
They would have made her come downstairs.
Yeah. Try to convert her. And I was thinking about, like, so much of this show, even though we talk a lot about how things are very much of their time, the fashion, the references, so much of this show still holds up and feels modern because these characters are modern. And this is one moment, though, where I was like, why not just order a pizza to the room? Like, why not just, like, order something? And I know that they're, like, in a new place and they don't know. But, like, today, if I was in a weird B&B and I didn't feel like I could leave, I'm going to get on Grubhub. I'm going to get on DoorDash. Food is coming to me.
See, I feel like most of these places would have, a phone book in each room.
Yeah.
But with it being a B&B, maybe it'd be, like, a community phone book that you have to go downstairs to get.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Well, and, like, hotels, a lot of the time, they'll have, like, those binders that have, like menus and stuff. So you can order. But, no, I guess maybe LaDawn would want to serve them herself, which...
She would be really offended.
Oh, God, yeah.
If they ordered a pizza.
However, it doesn't seem like they feel too bad about offending LaDawn.
Oh, no, definitely not.
Nope.
And Lorelai's review the next morning is, satanic forces are at work here. Which Rory kindly but also kind of incoherently corrects to, sat and forever am at work here. Which is great. But
that just makes me feel like she took a sabbatical and locked herself in a room to get all of her work done or something like that is what it feels like.
I don't LaDawn. Know.
Like,
justice for LaDawn.
It feels so childish to write that in a guest book. Like, that's something I would have done when I was like 8 and I would have giggled to myself the entire car ride home. A 32-year-old woman doing that? Oh, well. Lorelai's not at her best in this episode.
This episode just supports my theory, and this is by no means all-encompassing, but in my personal experience, I might have said this before, I feel like a lot of women who become parents in their teens kind of stop maturing at that age. Now, there are definitely women who have gone on to be amazing, and I don't want to say it's like a for sure thing by any means, but my personal experience, the women I have met who had kids in their teens... kind of stopped there.
Well, I think you probably have to put yourself on hold, you know, for a while. So you're just so focused on somebody else. It would make sense if you don't, you know, have time to grow as a person.
I learned a lot of skills in my early 20s like how to deal with, you know, strangers and talking one-on-one, making phone calls, ordering my own pizza on the phone because online wasn't a thing, scheduling my own appointments. Lorelai never had, I feel like, that transition stage to, like, slowly figure yourself out and stuff like that. It was just kind of like, nope, you have a kid now. Figure it out. That probably has a huge...
I don't want to, like, be rough or be, like, I don't know, condescending towards people who have social anxiety, because that's a real thing. I also have social anxiety. But, like, if my daughter is starving, I need to make a plan to give her food.
Yeah.
Also, hangry is a thing. I am well aware of that.
Yes.
Because I get it. And I feel like it definitely contributed to this fight.
Oh, definitely.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Well, the girls go downstairs. The coast is not clear. They thought it would be, but it's not. The B&B people are there.
Bird watching. And, you can't schedule this.
It's not on the freaking list. Oh, it is on the freaking list. Or you can't put it on the freaking list. That was so weird.
Yeah.
LaDawn saying freaking list was so weird.
It felt...
I hated it.
I know that you said earlier, very customer service-y. Having been in that customer service world, when you're like, this person sucks, but I have to keep a smile on my face. It kind of felt like that. Like, you can't put this kind of thing on a freaking list. It's like...
It's passive aggressive, which good for her.
I feel for LaDawn. I love it. She's just doing her job.
I feel like today in small businesses, it's come out a lot more, especially with like the internet and online reviews, for a lot of owners to be like, well, suck it up, buttercup. You like it or you don't, kind of thing.
Yeah.
And I feel like if LaDawn had this B&B now, she'd be like, okay, well, you can go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Also, in defense of hummingbirds, they're beautiful and super fun to watch.
Yeah.
Their wings are like super fast.
Yeah. I saw a woodpecker sitting out on my fence the other day, and I had never actually seen a woodpecker. I hear them all the time. I've never actually seen them. And I looked at Sean and I was like, hey, there's a bird out here with like an orange head and black and white spots on his body. And he's like, yeah, that's a woodpecker. I'm like, oh, well, I've never seen one outside of the Woody the Woodpecker cartoon, so excuse me.
I was about to say, what was the cartoon? That was it, Woody the Woodpecker.
But the girls do finally get some food. LaDawn has made some scones. And they immediately set upon those scones like a band of wolves.
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
Like two hands.
Double fisting.
Very uncultured.
Yeah.
For a woman that literally was raised in Emily Gilmore's house.
And.
But, you know, it's fine.
To the credit of, they're calling these people dentists, but this is a couple. I don't think that they're probably dentists. They act like the girls are not doing something super weird by literally scarfing every scone left. Mm-hmm. They're very kind. They're genuinely interested in Lorelai's line of publishing work.
They want to immediately set Rory up with their grandson, I think?
No, son.
Was it their son?
It was his son, yeah. And one thing I dislike about shows in general, not just Gilmore Girls, but everyone goes to an Ivy. Mm-hmm. Like, no one goes to, like, the college, state college or anything.
Yeah, unless you're in the South. And then in the South, you can go to a state college.
Yeah.
Dean goes to state college.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true.
But that doesn't necessarily speak well for community college. Anyway.
But yeah, so this publishing lie is stupid. I just want to pull that out again.
Seconded.
However... The horse that wanted to bark was really funny.
Mm-hmm.
I want that to be a real book.
Yeah, me too.
Also that the lady was like, I think I read that one to my grandson. Girl. I mean, I have read a lot of children's books. I was a children's librarian. There is likely a book that is similar out there.
Oh, yeah,
definitely. It was so good-natured of her to be like, oh, yeah, that one.
Well, I used to work at Barnes & Noble's, and I used to work in the kids section, and on Wednesdays, we would have little, like, reads,
Fun.
Like, we would read to the kids, and so I have read, like, When the Mouse Gets the Cheese, or whatever it's called, and Goodnight Moon, not Spoon.
Read that book
could have said
times.
Real titles, and they would have believed her.
Right? Yeah.
But Lorelai wouldn't do that.
No, instead she leaves Rory to the wolves and calls Suki.
And Suki is at Luke's.
Luke's diner, yeah. We get our scene at Luke's.
And this is this is such a funny scene. So we have a good Kirk moment. Kirk's just been ordering a bunch of coffee and Luke is like done with him. He wants him to leave.
Kirk clearly has no plans for this day.
No. No, but at Lorelai's request, Suki breaks the news to Luke because Suki says he's just such a loner, the news never made it to him. You're in the diner. Kirk is in the diner. Townspeople are in the diner. Somebody could
have
told
Luke. Are you
going to
tell me Miss Patty didn't walk in and just, oh, Luke, darling, I'm so glad you're here.
Mm-hmm.
100%.
Luke responds semi-appropriately. He seems like, oh, gosh, bummer.
Yeah.
But then,
I'm going to throw a party in my head.
He immediately turns around, like, comps Kirk's bill, comps coffee for the entire restaurant. This man is a happy guy.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the implication was kind of that refills are not free.
Yeah.
That's kind of what I got, which is so weird for coffee.
Which is weird. Yeah.
The coffee at Luke's.
At a diner, it's free.
Yeah.
But
it might have been a Kirk charge.
I want to focus on my favorite line, which is, what's 6% of 443 for a tip?
Please do not tip 6%. I'm sorry.
Don't. Yeah. No, tip a good tip.
Yeah.
But 6% of 443 is 0.265.
Right.
Which is either 26 cents or 27 cents if Kirk decides to round up.
Which
I don't
bet
think
he doesn't.
Oh, yeah. No.
Another thing that I thought was funny was that Luke doesn't tell Suki to get off the cell phone.
Yeah. He didn't even mention it.
Nope.
I wonder, like, does he know that she's talking to Lorelai?
Not at that moment. Not yet.
Yeah.
Like, I think she says, like, at the end of her, like, oh, Lorelai and Max broke up. Mm-hmm. I'm with her now.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Well, maybe that cell phone rule only applies to Lorelai.
To Lorelai?
Yeah.
Because...
Oh, and Chris later? Doesn't Chris get on his phone much, much later?
I mean, Chris
or
is
earlier?
Chris.
He does. I don't know. But I don't think Luke says anything, does he? I don't remember.
I couldn't remember. That's the only other example I could think of besides Lorelai.
No, I don't think he says anything because then Chris hands the phone to Lorelai.
And that's when he says something.
Okay.
Yeah.
I feel. But Suki just shakes her head at all of this, at Luke's incredible happiness and all of this
she
stuff.
She knows.
Oh, yeah.
And can I just say, I love Suki's dimples.
Yes.
Me too.
She has
Melissa,
the cutest
so cute.
Dimples.
Has always been adorable. So back at the Cheshire Cat, Rory is enduring these kind people's conversation, and Lorelai rescues her.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And she all but climbs away.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this girl, I don't know what happened to her manners, but they went away.
Well, Lorelai proves she can very easily, hey, we gotta go.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, look how easy that was. We just walked right out. Who knew?
And
Lorelai pulls out a map, or Rory pulls out her map, I'm sorry, that she's kept hidden. And they figure out that they're near Boston. Boston equals Harvard.
Mm-hmm.
And, Lorelai scrunching up the map, giving it back to Rory, and Rory being so disappointed.
Yeah.
And Lorelai saying, I will get you a new one when we get there is so funny.
I don't know. I love Lorelai's of, is it smaller? Then it's fine.
Yeah.
It's fine.
It's been a long time since I had one of those big road maps. They are a monster, and they suck to refold.
Yeah.
You know what's really nice? Like, maps. Like Google Maps.
Oh, yeah.
On your phone.
Yep.
It's so nice.
So convenient.
I am convinced that if we ever hit an apocalyptic state where the internet and maps and satellite goes down, I will never find my way to the grocery store again.
Nope.
Yeah. My partner has like a bug out bag he's been outfitting with, you know, water filters and stuff. And he's got paper maps in there.
Yep.
And I mean, smart.
Yep.
Smart.
I've looked at it. I've considered it. Haven't done it yet, but...
Yeah.
So we go to Harvard, which is not Harvard. It's actually UCLA, but it's fine.
I was wondering about
it's
that.
It's Harvard
so
in our minds.
Sandra. I didn't know if that was actually Harvard or not.
It was not. Yeah. But Rory's so excited.
She's excited, but she's
I don't
a
think
scared.
I've seen her this excited.
Yeah.
She is. She's a little apprehensive because... She wants a tour and she wants a guide. And you know what? This is something that's going to happen to her again later on. Except the next time is going to be worse.
Yeah.
And I kind of feel bad for her that both times that she sees these big colleges, she doesn't have the guy that she wanted.
Yeah.
Or the guy that she is going to be to some random 16-year-old later on. Like, that's who she needed.
Yeah.
I never did, like, an actual guided tour of any of the colleges I applied to. Like, I visited for the... Actually, I visited the school that I went to for the first time the summer before I started. Just kind of like a freshman mm-hmm. orientation pre-weekend. It's definitely a different experience when you're having, like, a guided tour with somebody who knows versus just, like, walking around with your parents on a campus. Because mm-hmm. it's, like, sightseeing versus actually learning. And exactly, she's definitely yeah. sightseeing.
And Rory's a learner.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember I did a guided tour of the college that I went to, and I don't remember a lot of it, but I remember from that tour, at least when I went back for freshman orientation and stuff, like, I already knew, okay, here's where the cafeterias are, here's where the libraries are, you know, here's where this school is and that school, yeah. like, it helped a lot versus just showing up mm-hmm. and being like, wonder what this building is, and mm-hmm. you couldn't pull out your phone and Google it then.
Yeah.
But what an unguided tour does allow them is being able to break into the dorms.
Yeah.
So at my college was a Catholic college, so they had guards, I guess, posted at every wow. entrance where you had to swipe your ID, and you can only get in if you swiped your ID. And if you didn't have your ID, it costs like $25 to get a new one, all this stuff. But the other thing is that you cannot bring a person of the opposite sex up. But anyways, so yeah, it was really, really tough. And Harvard not having IDs at the
college that had, I mean, granted, it wasn't founded in 1600 or whatever, but I think it was founded in the 1800s-ish. Like, we didn't have cards to swipe in. Mm-hmm. We had actual keys. And you could into the dorm part of that building without a key, unless somebody, like, opened the door and let you in, which, I mean, maybe that's what they did here. They just waited and then slept, you know, snuck in behind somebody.
It just seems really unsafe.
We called that ghosting when I was in school. It was when somebody would, like, sneak in the door after somebody else. Like, they'd wait mm-hmm. and watch. Guilty as charged, I earned the nickname Casper briefly, the friendly ghost, because I ghosted so much into a building, which was my boyfriend's building. His RA actually thought that I lived there. But we had to swipe our key card to get into any dorm, but it would only let you into your dorm. So it wasn't like all students could go into all dorms. It was like you had access to your dorm. The idea of just having a sign posted that says residence only, like, oh my gosh. Even,
yeah, right?
And especially at this point in a post 9/11 world, like, we had ramped up security everywhere. So
yeah.
At my college, you could leave your ID. If you're going to another dorm, you had to leave your ID and then take it back.
Oh.
And it had to be before midnight because it was after midnight, you would get, like, in trouble, a fine. Yeah. It was usually a fine. But yeah, they break into this dorm. I actually wanted to ask you guys, I guess I got the answer already, but did you guys dorm?
We were required to freshman year.
Same.
Oh, you were. Okay.
Where I went, you had to live on campus your freshman year unless you had an exemption.
Yeah. All freshmen had to live on campus. And I ended up living on campus for one more year. So freshman and sophomore year.
Yeah, I lived freshman and sophomore year, but we weren't required. It was more of a commuter school than anything. Okay. So, like, there was only so many dorms.
Okay.
This conversation makes me so excited for season four. Like, I had a fun time in college. Like, not like a fun time. I was a very square kid. But, like, I had fun in college, and I'm excited to, like, look back at Rory's college life because it really informed so much of what I thought I needed to do in mine. But yeah, I'm excited.
Well, one thing I will mention is that in this episode, the smallness of the room is much more realistic.
Yeah.
It's like a dorm.
Than the room we're going to get at Yale. Because at Yale, she gets a whole freaking, like,
apartment. It's like a three-room apartment. Yeah. But they do break into this building, and Lorelai waltzes right into an open room where she takes a picture of Rory. She makes Rory sit at this person's desk and touch their things. Like, I mean, I don't want to victim blame here. You shouldn't just leave your door open. But at the same time, a grown woman should like, know also, not to just go into somebody's room.
When I move, I very specifically remember when we first move into our dorms, our RA saying, if you leave your dorm, shut it and lock it. Your door should never be unlocked unless you are in it. And even then, you should probably lock it. But, like, never leave it unattended, never leave it unlocked and unattended.
Yeah.
Like, and this would have only been like 3 years difference from when I went to college and when this is happening.
And again, post 9/11.
It's just like basic safety.
You're not leaving that door open.
Yeah.
Yeah. But they also break into the classrooms. And Rory and Lorelai peek into a classroom. Lorelai has to go to the bathroom. And then Rory immediately drops her cup of coffee and leaves it there.
The thing that, like, makes me almost cringe about this scene is, like, so Rory is watching the class, which, fine, whatever. She drops her coffee. And then she immediately becomes the main character of this classroom.
Right.
The professor speaks to her directly, tells her to come sit down. And she's just, like, talking to him while she does it. I was just like, no, Rory, don't. Just be quiet and sit down. Like, I'm just imagining a mass lecture where this happened in real life. And I would be like, this is a nightmare. Get this girl out of here.
Yeah, that is a nightmare. And, yeah, she has her whole, like, moment with this class. Meanwhile, Lorelai exits the bathroom and she walks over to the valedictorians. And she kind of lingers on 1990. And there's a lot of debate about this scene. I don't know if you guys have seen on Reddit.
I've seen a little bit.
About why the hell does she, like, linger on 1990? I think it's really obvious. She mentions it later on in the episode of the things that she missed. The things that she didn't do. 1990 would have been the year she would have graduated.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Rory participating actively in a lecture that she is not part of. She thinks it's great fun.
Oh, man, guys. I did freshman for a day when I was in eighth grade. So, like, I don't know if you guys have ever heard of this program, but you go to a high school and you just become a freshman for a day. You follow one person and they show you around, right? Okay. And you, like, live the day as if you were a freshman.
That's fun.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. But it is also a little daunting because you're eighth grade and you're with the ninth graders. But when I did that, I went and it was math and they asked a question and I was like, I know this.
You were the Rory.
And I raised my hand and I gave he was like, ooh, the eighth grader is going to answer. Let's see if they answer correctly. I did not answer correctly. It was so humiliating.
I was hoping the teacher could be like, the eighth grader is smarter than all y'all.
That's what I was hoping. You really, that was a real bait and switch there, Sandra.
I brought me up and humiliated.
Smashed me down on that story.
Imagine how I felt. But anyways, Harvard is done. They got all their merch.
Yeah, they got like
at least everything. Like $200 worth of things. Yeah. And they're leaving the Cheshire Cat. And there's a bit about Sammy. It's weird.
Yeah, they're like...
This one I'll give LaDawn
Sammy's
is weird.
Not on the stairs. And then she's like, oh, Sammy's never on the stairs. And it's like, okay, LaDawn, I've been rooting for you so hard, girl. Just let it go.
I feel like at this point, this is just LaDawn's like final bit of revenge on having to deal with them for a couple of days.
You're messing with them? What's funny is that their Jeep is now filled with other things. But when they were going out of town,
it was also
they had
filled
chairs
with
and
what
stuff.
What are you going to do with those chairs? I saw that. What are you going to do with those?
It's like, are they camping?
What happened to those chairs? I don't know. It's very weird. But they get into the hollow really quickly. Those 4 hours went by real quick. And everyone is looking at them.
Oh my gosh. It's like a zombie movie where they like drive through a deserted town and people look up and you're realizing that they're zombies, except for people look up and you're realizing they're mourning her relationship.
I took it more as it's the outsider driving into a small town for the first time ever. Population of 150 of, oh, new person. How shall we murder you?
I mean, Miss Patty looks like she's about to like cry.
Right? Hand over the heart.
There's a heartbreak for the runaway bride is what I put in the notes. Like, it's just...
Oh, and Kirk.
Yikes.
Kirk, need a hug. No, Kirk, we're okay.
I love Kirk.
Well, they arrive at their home and The chuppa is still there. There's something so sad about Lorelai just standing there alone.
I mean, she is holding back tears. Like, it's such a sad little moment.
But we quickly move on to the Gilmore residence. Again, we have no idea what day it is. It could be Friday.
We have to assume it's Friday.
Something. I don't know.
At this point, I just assume if it's not Friday, Lorelai would be like, well, Mom, you have me here on a Thursday night. I'm going to give you slides.
Slides. Oh, my gosh. What a throwback. When was the last time you looked at slides? I mean, it was like well Never. Over...
High school?
Elementary school.
15 years for me. Yeah.
Oh, the projection slides. Did you guys not have that in high school? Like, when the teacher would
know?
We had the we had the TVs brought in. Mm-hmm. Or, yes, because my school, we did not have a TV in every single classroom until I went to a richer school. Yeah, we had the rolling TV.
That's like huge.
The whole school only has two, and you got to rent it out 3 months in advance.
Oh, my gosh.
Or they had like the projectors with like the clear pages that went up. We had those.
Yeah, an overhead projector.
Yeah,
those are good. But Emily is
now they have smart things.
Yeah, smart TVs, smart screens.
No.
Emily is nonplussed at these very bad slides.
They're so bad.
I feel like Emily does very well with these slides.
She is very, she hates them, but she is very patient.
But yeah.
Like, how, and we only see the tail end of the slides. How many pictures do you think had somebody's finger over it? Like, were blurry.
At least 85%. Yeah. And then the other 15% were like random
the Harvard
leaves.
Squirrel.
Harvard leaves.
The Harvard chipmunk.
That's actually UCLA, but who cares?
I just meant that Emily did very well. She definitely toned down what she was probably thinking.
Well, they're in a good period right now, right? The last time we saw her was the bachelorette party where they seemed to be on pretty good terms. And Lorelai realizes she's got to break the news.
Yeah. And Emily pops a big question. What about the wedding? Also, she says, wouldn't your fiance be angry at you leaving? And I'm like, that's a weird question.
Yeah. But Emily is correct in being like, why would you go on a trip right before you're about to get married? Why are you acting like you're not about to get married? Well,
about that.
Because I'm not.
Well, first, Emily goes on the most dramatic
rant
ever.
Yeah.
She slaps the knee, turns her head, like stands. Like, it's a whole thing.
Like, if that's what she really thinks, though, like,
I knew it.
I would fully understand her being upset like this, though.
But like, she does
finally
make it
at
about
a good
her.
Spot. She does, but I mean, Lorelai's her only child. Emily clearly has been dreaming about Lorelai's wedding since she had Lorelai.
Mm-hmm.
Like, to feel, to think even for a short time that that was essentially stolen from her. Like, I can understand her being upset there.
Well, Lorelai quickly corrects her with Rory's prompting. And I gotta say, like, I know Lorelai was expecting more, but, like, Emily has no attachment to Max at all.
Mm-hmm.
They met once, and it was during a fight between Lorelai and Emily.
I mean, I think that she handled it. I guess she didn't give, like, an emotional response, which is maybe what Lorelai was looking for, but she, I mean, she just was like, okay, I'm not going to fight you on it. I'm just going to accept it. I'm going to think logically about, well, I got to return your gift.
I can't decide if Lorelai wanted, like, an emotional, well, what happened? Are you okay? Like, can I do anything in response? Or if she was, like, expecting to be attacked. And then when she didn't get attacked,
she probably was.
She's like, wait, what?
Yeah.
Now I'm going to find a reason to attack you then. What'd you get me? Was it teaspoons? I bet it was teaspoons. Nobody ever uses teaspoons. I use teaspoons.
Yeah. I use teaspoons. I use all of my random silverware and cutlery because I don't have a ton. And sometimes you use a small fork.
It was actually tea stirring spoons.
Tea stirring spoons.
So,
okay.
Specifically for iced tea, spoons to stir. Mm. So they would be longer.
Ooh.
So while you're doing it in the pitcher, they're just a little bit longer. And she's right. No one actually uses them because they just reach for a spoon.
Yeah. No, I do use them.
And do it themselves.
I did anyway. So we had a set
Emily
when I was a kid. And we had a set of cups from my grandma that she gave to my dad that were skinny and really mm-hmm. tall, but they were like perfect chocolate milk cups. And so I would use the tea stirring spoons to stir the chocolate because the cups were very narrow at the bottom. So like a big spoon, while it was tall enough, was too big for the bottom to like stir very well. So it was the perfect, you know, chocolate milk stirring spoon.
Mm. It's getting cold in New Jersey right now, and a hot cocoa oh my gosh. Would be
okay.
Yes.
I just have to, because you brought up hot cocoa, I would never have said this otherwise, mm-hmm. but recently I was at Target and I did that thing where you accidentally buy stuff you don't need at Target. They make Swiss mm-hmm. Miss with Lucky Charms marshmallows now.
What?
Yep.
Yikes.
Milk chocolate Swiss Miss packets, and each one comes with a packet of Lucky Charms marshmallows. It's just like marshmallows. I love it. Mm-hmm. It's great.
I know what I want for Christmas now.
apparently I have to look into this.
It was so fun.
But going back to Gilmore Girls, Lane's
home.
Is walking down the street. She's home. Korea did not kill her.
She actually had an okay time.
She had fun. Yeah.
She physically strapped bootstrap CDs to her body to mm-hmm. get them through class. Yeah. What teenager thinks of this?
Also, again, in a post 9/11 world, nobody was strapping anything to their body on a flight.
Nope. And that's a really awkward joke to make in a post 9/11 world. Like, recently.
Yeah. I'm under the impression that Gilmore Girls is pretending that never happened.
I think they pretend it doesn't happen until, like, later seasons. There's like a
college
reference
years?
At some point.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I feel like Paris makes a reference.
I feel like the only show that acknowledged it, this is gonna make me sound real old, guys, but it was Seventh Heaven.
Oh my
god. We had an entire episode about it.
We can't even get into Seventh Heaven. There's like too much dirt there.
There's a lot there. Anyways, going back to this, Lane is home. She's good. She had a good time. Rory's happy to see her.
It was just an open-ended ticket.
She hasn't seen her friend in, like, months.
It wasn't a big deal. Lane was overreacting, but at the same time, her parents certainly didn't do anything to make her feel better about the situation. So
no, her parents egged it on.
Yeah.
I am convinced of this.
And Lorelai leaves the girls talking to go inside to Luke's. Mm-hmm. And Luke immediately realizes... No, I think Lorelai mentions the... Mm-hmm.
The huppa.
And Luke is like,
oh crap.
Yeah.
Like, I'm such an idiot.
But what I love is that, you know, Lorelai starts explaining they went to Harvard. Luke immediately picks up on the fact of like, and how did you feel about that?
Yeah.
You know.
He knows her.
They have a great friendship. Like, before it even gets mm-hmm. to be a romance, they have a great friendship. They just mm-hmm. see in each other things that nobody else does. And they like ask each other the right questions. They're great.
Yeah. They have such fantastic chemistry. Like, Lauren Graham and mm-hmm. Scott Patterson alone. Mm-hmm. They just have their whole thing. It just works. And I fully understand why they were shoved together.
Yeah.
From episode one.
But Lorelai admits that she loved it and she hated mm-hmm. it. And she made a joke early in the episode about, like, I'll be living off campus so I can visit you every mm-hmm. weekend. And it's like, I'm currently watching season 4 and 5 on my rewatch. And like, Lorelai not with Rory is a weird thing.
Mm-hmm.
But it's life.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what happens.
But I think it's probably hard when you and your daughter are the only people you've had, you know, like you mm-hmm. have been a unit mm-hmm. for 16 years. Yeah. Hard to imagine.
To see her fit so well mm-hmm. in this college life. And it kind of, like, makes Lorelai think, you know, maybe even seeing the photo of the valedictorian, of just, like, everything she's missed, everything she wants to do and still has to do. And the conversation shifts to, hey, credit and, like, cash and all this stuff. Talk to me about it. Business owner, talk to me.
I love how Luke responds.
Yeah.
Okay, what can I do to help?
Mm-hmm.
He's just like, he's confident. He, you know, knows a little bit about the subject. He's happy to help. He supports her.
Yeah, she wants to open
this
inn.
It's a good look for him.
And like,
I will say, I'm surprised that he didn't take any kind of loan or anything out to start the diner.
I think, isn't that Luke like has money, right? Isn't that kind of a thing?
Yeah. The implication is that Luke has a lot of money.
Yeah.
Yes, there is that implication on and off. There's also other times where it sounds like Luke is poor, but like, I do think, you know,
he's not $30 million
rich. Yeah. Single man in his 30s living alone, lives in the apartment above his diner, no outside living expenses. Like, I fully understand why he would have a lot of money set aside, but mm-hmm. I would see that coming from the diner, not...
Oh, yeah, like, definitely.
You
mean like not like a family
yeah. inheritance kind of thing? Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm wondering maybe he used like his dad's inheritance, like life insurance or something.
Well, he already had the store.
Yeah. But there's still overhead.
The hardware store was still his.
Assuming for like the appliances and tables, dishware.
Mm-hmm. It's a good point. Maybe Keith or Sutherland, his best friend,
truth.
Lent him money.
Yes.
But it was a gift, not a loan, you know?
But anyways, we end the episode with Lane and Rory scurrying off and Lorelai calling Suki and being like,
let's go.
Hey, let's talk about the end. Let's do this.
Yeah.
And that was this episode, guys. We spent most of it on tangents because this was
because
that kind
we
of
had
episode.
The time and we knew we had the time.
Yeah.
I'm fine with that.
Nevertheless, an episode that was needed. Mm-hmm. It was the little bridge between Max and what lies ahead. And with that in mind, we're going to move on to Town Person of the Week. Which, guys, controversial, because it's 2 weeks in a row. Mm-hmm. But it's Rory, right?
I think it's kind of got to be Rory.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, her and Lorelai are the only people we consistently have in this episode. I mean, obviously, mm-hmm. Emily has her small bit. Luke has his small bit. Suki has her small bit.
I mean, Suki maybe for, like, being a good friend, but she has such a small part in this episode.
Yeah.
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 No, I just think that Rory she fit in, guys.
Yeah.
She fit in. She stood up for herself against her mom, of all people. Of like, no, you owe me an explanation for this. And then when Lorelai finally gives it to her, she accepts it.
Gives her a kiss in the cheek and, like, moves on, congrats, Rory. Twice in a row. Last season was a little rough for you. A rough start for you. But this season, you're right out the
gate.
Way to
go. And after Town Person of the Week, we have References with Sandra.
All right, so references. So I want to focus on three different references for this week. It's a little bit out of order, but the first one I'm going to start with is the one that Lorelai herself told me to look up, and that is close enough for jazz. So Lorelai asks if she's close to the curb. Rory says you're within 5 feet, and Lorelai responds with the line, close enough for jazz. So this is an idiom. Basically meaning good enough.
Okay.
It comes from the thought that an instrument, even if it wasn't finely tuned, and if it sounds kind of wonky, would still be good enough for jazz.
Interesting.
Obviously, jazz musicians are not particularly fond of the statement, of this idiom. It is also a Van Morrison song, or like an album. But that's basically what it means. Close enough for jazz, good enough. Sucks for jazz players. But really, I want to focus on Rory's class at Harvard.
Okay.
So every time I watch this, I'm like, what are they talking about in this class? So they're talking about Seneca. So Seneca is Lucius Annaeus Seneca the Younger. A Roman Stoic philosopher, born in 4 BC, died in 65 AD.
So 69?
He was a tutor.
Sorry. I'm very mature.
He was a tutor and then the advisor to Emperor Nero. And he allegedly took part in the conspiracy to assassinate Nero.
Ooh.
He was most likely innocent But he still very famously killed himself as punishment because he was just thought of like being part of this conspiracy. But what he did, he wrote a lot about stoicism. So that means he wrote about the need to control destructive emotions and to confront one's own morality, mortality, not morality, and be willing to practice poverty and use wealth wisely. However, Mr. Seneca was a really big hypocrite. There's no way to say this.
Okay.
He wrote plays filled with destructive emotions. He loved to write these plays. And also, he was incredibly wealthy and powerful, but advocated for the simple life. So he was basically like Bezos trying to be like, you should just farm, but then never farmed himself.
He would say that.
And that's Seneca, and that's what Rory was arguing about. And my last reference, every so often there's going to be a random guest star that is going to be not a focus, but is kind of famous, mm-hmm. right? So random guest star alert. Last season we had Brandon Routh. This week it is Masioka, who is known for playing Hiro Nakamura.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. Okay. Yes. I thought he looked familiar.
Every time I see him, so I'm like, that's the guy from Heroes, but I never remember his name.
Yep. This is the kid that is like, oh, this again or something. Mm-hmm. I don't know. And then she taps on the shoulder and is like, this was fun. This is his third ever role.
Oh, he's such a baby in this episode.
He was. 2 years later, he had a guest spot on Scrubs. And he was in a bunch of early 2000 shows, Reba, Without a Trace, and Joey, if anyone remembers Joey.
Remember Joey? Yes. Did I watch it? No.
No, I don't think anyone watched it. In 2006, he got Heroes. So
he co-stars with.
Yes. So this kind of ties into the Gilmore World because Heroes also starred Milo Ventimiglia. So it's a really nice little coincidence that his co-star starred in his previous show mm-hmm. and then literally one episode before he got mm-hmm. there. But yeah, those were my references. Just some little, a philosopher, a hero, and an idiom.
Gilmore Girls in a nutshell.
Basically. But up next, we have Books with Emily.
Books. And music with Emily. With Emily.
Okay, finally, first episode this season, we get a book. Been doing movies.
Yay!
Or TV shows, mostly movies. Mm-hmm. So, in the one of the end episodes, when the girls are back at Friday night dinner with Emily. And Lorelai is chasing Emily around the house, trying to figure out what gift she got. It cuts back to Rory sitting on the couch reading a Virginia Woolf novel. So that's mm-hmm. what I'm going with. Mm-hmm. There were a couple other books mentioned, Seneca being one of them. Lorelai mentions like, well, it's no Tuesdays with Maury when they're at Harvard. I read that book. Lorelai's not wrong. but yeah, so I'm doing Mrs. Dalloway by Virginia Woolf. It was published in 1925. It details a day in the life of Clarissa Dalloway, a fictional high society woman in post-First World War England. It is one of her best-known novels. So the summary on this is it takes place over one day in June in 1923. Clarissa Dalloway goes around London in the morning getting ready to host a party. And it reminds her of her youth spent in the countryside of Borton and makes her think about her husband and her choice of husband. She married the reliable Richard Dalloway instead of the enigmatic and demanding Peter Walsh. That's her story.
The first love triangle?
Yeah, I don't know. And then the other main character is Septimus Warren Smith, a First World War veteran suffering from deferred traumatic stress, so PTSD, spends his day in the park with his Italian-born wife, Lucrezia, where Peter Walsh observes them. So, who she would have married otherwise.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. So Septimus is visited by frequent and indecipherable hallucinations, mostly concerning his friend Evans, who died in the war. Later that day, he is involuntarily committed Yikes. To a hospital. And spoiler happens, so I'm not going to say anything. Anyway, Clarissa learns about his situation that evening, even though she knows nothing about him. And it's kind of an interesting end. She starts, like, reflecting on him and his life, I guess, and the choices that he made, and she admires them. Anyway, what's interesting about this is, I guess when it came out, there were a lot of similarities between Mrs. Dalloway and, I don't know if you guys will remember this, James Joyce's Ulysses. Mm-hmm. So we discussed this last season, that book. Ulysses is often considered one of the greatest novels of the 20th century, but Virginia Woolf herself was like, no, not what I was doing. Leave it alone. She straight up just says, nope, not mine. But I thought that was interesting because that there was such, like, we've seen Rory read both of these mm-hmm. books now. Mm-hmm. And that there's a lot of correlation between the two.
So is it, but like,
I think it'd be a fun book to read.
Twilight and Harry Potter can exist and, like, be separate entities kind of thing? Or is it, like, Twilight and 50 Shades of Grey? Kind of thing. You know what I mean?
I think it's like Pride and Prejudice and Odysseus.
So just two very different things?
Two completely different
things.
So they say that it's because a lot of the story of Mrs. Dalloway is told through flashbacks. Mm. Mm-hmm. Which I guess is how Ulysses was told as well, was through a lot of flashbacks.
So it's more the style. Okay.
Yeah.
I understand that.
Yeah, so it literally, the sentence is, because of structural and stylistic similarities... Mm. Commonly thought to be a response that. To James... Oh, yeah, to be a response to James Joyce's Ulysses. But she denied any deliberate method to the book, saying instead that the structure came about without any conscious direction.
Well, I mean, a woman could never write an original story, so...
No, heaven forbid. Especially in the 20s. But yeah, so that was Virginia Woolf, Mrs. Dalloway. After that, we have Fashion with Jess.
Making fashion choices with Jess.
So this was a filler episode. We can all agree to that. And unfortunately, it kind of gave us some filler clothes as well. Lorelai and Rory wear what I would just call road trip clothes for the majority. They're in, you know, comfortable t-shirts and jeans or, you know, sweatpants. They're just comfortable. They're on a road trip. They're in their bed and breakfast room. There are a couple of standout outfits, just a few. And so one of the standout outfits was Rory's Friday night dinner dress, which I thought was really fun. It's a navy blue short sleeve shirt dress. But it's got, like, leaves and, like, little seed pods all over it. So it's very autumnal, super cute. And then later when she is back in Stars Hollow and meets up with Lane, she has a green zip-up hooded sweater she puts over it. And it's very cute. Emily's hair is pointed out in this episode. She said she just got it done for Lorelai's wedding. And it looks really great. Mm-hmm. It's a great style. One of the outfits that I did not love... was Lorelai's Friday night dinner outfit. I didn't pay as much attention to the bottom, but she had on this kind of like aqua blue button up. And this is more of a styling thing. It was just so wrinkly. It was wrinkly. She had clearly been wearing it through a lot of takes. And so like places where like the arm meets the body of the shirt or like the elbows, the inner elbows were just like wrinkly. And it's one of those things where if you own that kind of shirt and you know how, like, gross and wrinkly it gets, you just don't wear it. Because it's like, I'll look frumpy in 20 minutes from wearing this shirt. Just didn't love it. Also, the semi-sheer shirt with a camisole underneath look.
Oh, man, I loved that in the 90s. That was, like, my favorite look ever in the 90s.
I like it if it's maybe a darker semi-sheer with, like, a color underneath. But I just didn't love this aqua blue sheerness. But
Cher and Clueless, the white on white, gorgeous.
See, but that's different. That's a monochromatic look. Lorelai just looks like a mess. Suki does wear a bandana in this episode. She wears a gray and white paisley bandana as a headband. But I think the real fashion star of this episode was LaDawn. I've brought it up a number of times throughout the podcast.
Face
the cottagecore
right
thing. it's current right now. And also just she was the only character that had any kind of style in this episode, or any kind of personal style. Because, I mean, we saw, like, basic style. Road trip clothes, right? T-shirt and jeans.
In quotations.
In quotes.
Okay.
Can I offer an opinion? And this is 100% just my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
My opinion, if Mrs. Frizzle from the Magic School Bus was a B&B-er, this would be her. These outfits would be her outfit.
I can see that. I mean, it's a very, like, it's a very over-the-top style. But my point is that so much of the fashion in this episode is blah. And then you have LaDawn, who's like, I have a sense of self. Yeah. I have a sense of what I like. In this episode, we see her in a white floral shirt dress, which is very, like, crisp and prim and proper and, like, kind of, you know, 50s housewifey. We see her in a long-sleeve blue denim shirt dress with a very frilly yellow floral apron over top of it, which
That's
I thought was
favorite.
Honestly, it's cute. I would wear that apron to bake and to cook in. Are you kidding me? Heck yes.
I mean, no, I wouldn't wear it, but I love it.
Oh, I would wear it. I have a frilly apron that I wear when I cook. And then we also see her in a pink short sleeve dress with like a lettuce hem. So that kind of like wrinkly hem and a pink floral apron. So I'm not saying that she's the best dressed. I'm giving Rory best dressed in her navy blue and leaf print dress. And I'm giving Lorelai worst dressed in her wrinkly blue button up. But LaDawn absolutely was my steal item. I loved that. The denim dress that she was wearing underneath the frilly apron, I thought was just, like, cool and 90s casual. But I love that apron. I know that it's silly, and I know it was added to the character to continue to make her look over the top and ridiculous. I would absolutely wear that.
I love it.
I think it's super fun. Did you guys have any fashion that stood out to you in the episode? It was, not a lot.
I would love to steal a Harvard sweater. But, like, not necessarily either of the ones that they were wearing, but, like...
Yeah, they were just wearing, like, t-shirts and bucket hats.
Yeah, there was.
Kind of coming back.
I just want a red Harvard sweater, but, like, just in general.
So, the Harvard t-shirt that Rory is wearing, I don't know if you guys had this, but, like, my college had tons of shirts those. Just the name of the college. Just kind of, like, that slightly arched wording. But I'd say those were some of like the most comfortable shirts I've ever owned.
Expensive too.
So my dad bought them for me, not me. So I guess if I were to steal anything, it would be one of those t-shirts just so I could have one again.
I think that the one that Rory is wearing, which is I think the gray one, it not only fits her really well, but the fabric falls really nicely.
Yes.
So it's like one of those nice t-shirts. Because I have a lot of those like crisp, like gild-on, you know, printed shirts that aren't great. That's a good one. So
yeah. One thing I noticed is Emily's outfit, her top,
too big.
I feel like it's a lot longer than what it normally is. It has a much lower cut. Like it's actually below her hips. Whereas normally I feel like it reaches kind of like right at her hip. So it was a slightly different look for her.
Like
a slightly different
it
fit
was
for her.
A couple sizes too big for her.
It looked really loose. Yeah.
Yeah. It was also kind of boxy.
That was a little weird. But her hair was great.
Oh, yeah.
Her hair looked incredible. Yeah.
Yes.
So, yeah, kind of a filler episode for fashion. I think LaDawn was like a fun little fashion punch just because she was just so different. But yeah, hopefully next episode we get some fresh new outfits. I don't know, fresh new characters. We'll see. What could
happen? Will there be a leather jacket in my future?
I don't know. But after fashion, we have Stars Hollow Speaks. So as usual, all of our listeners have been fantastic, have been writing in, giving us their thoughts on the episode. And as we were prepping to record, we asked what you guys thought of this episode, and we got a number of responses. From Nadia Sophie, we got, "Such a cute episode. I love the scenes in the car, and the bed and breakfast is hilarious." From Ellen, we got, my mom and I stayed in a B&B just like that after my breakup. I wish Laura would have explained more to Rory. She dragged her 16-year-old with her and won't explain. It's crappy.
Agreed.
I think we totally agree with that. Thank you, Ellen. And then Kendra wrote, I actually love this episode and think their starvation, in quotations, and social isolation is hilarious, especially when Rory talks to that couple about Dean while eating muffins. Also, Harvard was filmed at UCLA. Go Bruins! So, obviously, like Sandra, Kendra has a good eye for that thing. But thank you to everybody who gave us your thoughts on the episode.
Yep. And we actually got a comment about last week's episode. Ooh, actually, 2 weeks ago at this point. And it was about Shusha. So, it's from Gabby Ortega, who says, I've always wondered if Shusha was the Brazilian superstar Shusha, or if it was some American reference with the same name. Great episode, girls. Again, how I miss this woman, I have no idea. It's going to haunt me for the rest of my life. but yes, the same person. And thank you.
And then last one for this week is we have a new review on Apple Podcasts. Again, we love these reviews for on that specific platform. It helps get our podcast out there. So from Planty M, I hope we share the same name, but from she says, this is such a fun listen. I love the attention to detail this podcast has. I look forward to it every week. So thank you.
Thank you so much.
Emily, yeah, thank you all of you guys. We love the reviews. We love hearing from you. Mm-hmm. All of it. Thank you.
And when we say all of you, that number is steadily growing. And yes. If you follow us on Instagram, you may have already seen, but
we hit so a excited. Really big number, 10,000 plus at this point, listens. Like, it's crazy. What are we at?
I'm pulling it up right now. I'm really curious. 10,243 right now.
That's insane. Thank you so much for everyone who has listened. For people who have, like, put us on multiple times, I think. Like, it's mm-hmm. insane. Mm-hmm. And I'm really, really Thank grateful. You.
It's kind of wild to imagine that my voice has been heard over 10,000 times.
Yeah, it's kind of insane.
But we are super, super grateful for you guys, as always. And keep writing in. Keep reviewing us. Keep sharing us with your friends. It all helps, and mm-hmm. we're really glad to have you on this journey.
So before we end the episode, guys, it's time for coffee. And guess what, guys? There was coffee. We drank coffee.
Yay!
It only took...
We drank coffee. We spilled four coffee. Four episodes.
Lorelai had two cups of coffee, and Rory had one cup of coffee that fell in the classroom.
Yes! As I was, like, this episode ended as I was watching it and I was thinking back, I'm like, okay, I'm going to make a bet with myself. I think Lorelai had two and Rory had one. And I was right. And I'm
you
so...
You are right.
There's literally nothing to be proud of, but I'm proud of
it. I'm sure Lorelai would appreciate it.
And coffee is no longer a given. Yeah. We assumed that when we went into mm-hmm. it. Coffee is a gift and we should be grateful every day.
I wonder if season two is going to have less coffee. Although I think maybe I'll balance out because Rory's going to be going to Luke's Diner a little bit more for whatever reason.
I was thinking that.
Yeah.
Just because she might want to. I don't know. We'll see.
But she might be too distracted by a certain...
A waiter?
Maybe? Person there.
What's his name?
There is a word that I want to call it, but I can't think of it.
And he has such a strange name tomorrow. That, like, I can't even think of it.
Yeah. Weird name. If anybody is listening to us Candy. For like the first time, like they're like, these girls are
weird.
What are they doing? Everything will be clear in the next episode, we promise.
Eye candy is the word. Rory has some specific eye candy she starts watching.
Well, thank you as always for tuning in and listening to us. I was Jess.
And I was Sandra.
And I was Emily. We'll see you in the next episode. Thanks, guys.
Bye.
Bye. Bye. Thanks for listening to Town Meeting, a Gilmore Girls Rewatch podcast. If you'd like to get in touch with us, you can do so on Instagram or Twitter at townmeetingpod. Or if you'd like to send us an email, send it to townmeetingpod@gmail.com. And if you'd like to toss us a couple bucks and support the podcast, find us on buymeacoffee.com/townmeeting.